Please be seated. Our bishop called me Monday night, and I'll admit when I saw the caller ID, I had a little sense of panic, like, what did I do now? But he called and he wished me a happy anniversary. I'll admit, I had another little sense of immediate panic. Good Lord, what anniversary have I forgotten? I knew it wasn't my wedding anniversary. That's July 12th or 14th. I can't remember. But that wasn't it. It took me a few seconds to realize that he was referring to the anniversary of my ordination as a priest, which was actually last Sunday. And the really weird thing is, it didn't even cross my mind. But that phone call, I'll admit, it brought some reminiscing this past week. In some ways, 15 years, with most of that time spent here, seems like a lifetime ago. And in other ways, it seems like it was just yesterday. But I realized, again, that this priest thing really is what I was created to do. And my only regret is that I didn't do it earlier in life. I know that over the years, I've shared some of the story of how that happened. But after looking at today's gospel lesson, I hope you don't mind hearing parts of it again. Almost 20 years ago, I told Lori that I thought I was being called to ordain ministry. And Lori's immediate response was to hang up the damn phone. But the truth is, she really was very supportive of us going through this really long process. Perhaps she felt that I'd never make it through, but to see if the church agreed with my sense of call. So I approached the rector of our church in Alabama and told him the same thing, and that began a process, a really long process that is part of the canons of the Episcopal Church and that everyone who wishes to go into ordained ministry must endure. The rector and I had a series of one-on-one meetings discussing what ordained ministry was, talking about what I believed was my call and everything else under the sun that would help me and the church decide if this was the course I should take. Following those meetings, it was time to meet with the bishop. It was one of the so-called big hoops that I had to jump through, and that took place in June of 1998. After meeting with me, the bishop's responsibility was to make a decision about whether I should proceed in this process or not. And the bishop decided that I should proceed. And that started a series of incredible tests, enormous amounts of paperwork, background checks, medical exams, psychological exams, and yes, I passed that one, and finally, approval by the clergy and vestry of my home parish. And then I waited. I waited a pretty good while. I waited for an invitation to appear before the Bishop's Commission on Ministry, an invitation that may or may not come depending on the outcome of all those screening procedures. But in September of 1998, I was actually invited to the Commission on Ministry, which took place at the diocesan camp and was a series of a pretty stressful meetings with the committee where they could ask you questions about anything they chose. And then they vote. They vote on you, but they don't tell you the results. You go home, and you're told that you'll have an answer in about 2 weeks. That was a long 2 weeks. But on the first Sunday of Advent in 1998, the bishop scheduled a meeting with Lori and me at our home church to tell us of the commission's decision. The bishop told us that the commission had approved me as a postulant for holy orders, which paved the way for me to go to seminary. Between November and May, a lot happened. We broke the news to our families. We sold a house. We sold a business. We applied to and were accepted at Suwannee, and we moved there. And in August, I became a member of the School of Theology's class of 2002. It was a wonderful time. It was a wonderful, challenging, and joyful year. And after that first year was over, summer came. Wasn't so joyful. It was clinical pastoral education, CPE, where we were required to work up to 70 hours a week with no pay in a critical care hospital setting as baby chaplains. It was hell. But it was a deliberately designed program and another hoop that we had to jump through. But I made it. And I went back to Swanee for my middle year. And in December of 2000, we were required to go through a faculty evaluation process where the faculty would recommend to the bishop, the commission on ministry, and the standing committee as to whether I should continue to proceed as a candidate for holy orders. So in April, I once again went before those committees in Birmingham, and again, I made it through those hoops. And then came my senior year. Another evaluation and recommendation by that committee, and then January 4th came. The test to end all tests. The fear of every seminarian. The general ordination exams, which are a week-long series of tests over everything and anything which may or may not have been covered in seminary. Then you had to wait for those results. It took 6 weeks. But I passed. So in March, another trip to Birmingham to meet with the examining chaplains of the diocese where they would go over your exams as if you still remembered what you wrote, and also another appearance before the Standing Committee and the Commission on Ministry for their approval to be ordained a transitional deacon. I made it through that hoop. An ordination date as a deacon was set for May 16th, 2002, and I began work in my first parish 3 days later. But the process still wasn't through. In September, a last trip before the committees and the bishop for their approval to be ordained as a priest, which I received that approval, and that took place 15 years ago this past Sunday. I really wasn't nervous about being ordained until the day before that ceremony. And I just figured if I could get past that part of the service where the bishop asks if anyone objects to my being ordained, I figured it would be all downhill from there. That long, sometimes difficult process, that long and difficult wait would finally be over. And I guess I share this with you again, not just as a trip down memory lane, but because my story is where I found myself in today's gospel lesson. Mark writes, "The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." I could not get past that very first line. You see, in my story, I had been so focused on my ordination as the end of a long wait that I was failing to recognize that every ending truly marks a new and significant beginning. And I came to understand Advent and this gospel lesson in a way that I'd never understood it before. We all know this. There's waiting, and then there's waiting. Sometimes waiting is just a pointless exercise we all have to endure from time to time. And sometimes I think that's how a lot of us approach Advent. But there are other times. There are other times when waiting is really significant, where it really matters, and where it's more than just something we endure, but instead marks a time before beginnings happen and promises are fulfilled. And I really think that's the kind of waiting that Advent is supposed to call us to. The beginning of the good news of Jesus, the Son of God. I don't believe that's the first line of Mark's gospel. I think that's the title of the whole thing. It's the promise of Isaiah. It's the Advent proclamation of John the Baptist. It's the idea that times of preparation that we so often endure aren't about looking at the past and saying, thank God that's over. But instead, it should be about looking at the future and saying, wow. Simply saying, wow, to the unimaginable, awesome, and humbling gift of God's grace when we receive what we wait, hope, and dream for. It's about promises that create an expectation about the future and set something beyond ourselves in motion. It really should mark new beginnings and the promise that there always is more to come. Folks, it's always Advent somewhere. Life is so often about waiting and hoping for something. But God's promise is that Christmas will come. Whether it's people waiting for a babe in a manger, a friend hoping for better health, a family longing for better times, or even just a regular guy who dared to dream that he could one day be a priest. But Christmas will come. Not merely as an end to our own personal advents, but as unbelievable grace-filled beginnings, full of promises that impact and shape our future by creating a vision of the future and inviting us into it. For that, I say thanks be to God. And wow, God love you. Amen.